Truly the Lord is all I need. His grace is sufficient. Oh, John, can you imagine him? Here comes Sunday. What happened before this? Well, we don't know exactly. What we do know that there was a guy named Domitian who was an emperor who hated Christianity. Because those who worshiped Christianity, see, Domitian was this emperor. And this emperor was a guy that he was the first one to come along and make statues of himself. Domitian was the first guy that came along and said, "Call me Lord God." And then that comes into conflict with Christianity. Because Christianity says there's not but one Lord. He is the Lord God. He is the Lord Jesus. He is the only one. John continued to preach the Word. He continued to preach that there was one God. And for preaching of the Word and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, he was taken and he was sent out about 25 miles off of Asia. He was sent out into the water on this rocky island, probably about 25 miles, 24 miles in diameter. He was there, wasn't in chains, but basically he, along with other criminals, were there to fend for themselves. So what do you do? What do you do? When it comes around on the Lord's Day, what do you do? Well, we'll find out. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to pick it up with verse 10. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, 'I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Pergamos, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.' And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of these seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. His girt was about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they'd been burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many rushing waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.'" What was he doing? On the Lord's Day, with all the things that had happened in his life, probably age of in his 90s, when it came time for Sunday, he was praising God. When it came time, when all these things had happened, the Scripture says he was in the Spirit. Now, what does in the Spirit mean? In this context right here, in the Spirit would mean something that was almost outside of the body. The Holy Spirit was so strong on him. It had overcome his mind, it had overcome his body, and it really placed him into a new dementia. And inside of this new dementia, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." Well, when it came to this point, this connection, he was a divine, he was released from the ordinary ways of life, and all of a sudden things were different. Oh, you've seen it before. You remember when Jesus went out into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? at the end of that period of time, or during that period of time, Satan came along to him and tempted him. And one of the things, it took him in the spirit upon the temple of the temple and said, jump. The angels will catch you. Another time he took him up on this tall mountain and he showed him all the glory of the world. How could you do that? Jesus was in the spirit. And so outside of the confine of the finite, which we are, he moved into the realms of the infinite. Paul saw this. Paul saw this as things were happening to him one day. He was praying and he said in 2 Corinthians, well, Peter saw it first. Let me talk about Peter. Peter was praying in Acts 10:10 and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance, according to Acts 10:10. This trance, this ecstasy, something far beyond. He was in the spirit. And God showed him these animals coming down in a net. Paul was praying. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How? That he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. What was happening? Something, he was in the spirit. And outside of this, Peter knew it. He knew it. Paul knew it. Jesus knew it. And John now in the spirit on the Lord's day. But what? What is the Lord's day? Well, it's kind of simple for us to say that, but what is the Lord's day? If you look within the text, you'll find that this is the only time that the Lord's day is found in the New Testament. So what is the Lord's day? What was John doing on Sunday? The Lord's day is the day in which we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord's day is the day in which the early church met together. And as they met together, as they met together on that first day, they would set aside things. It was on the Lord's day that they were celebrating. So what was John doing? John was praying. John was singing. John was celebrating. John was preaching the Word of God. He's having fun in Jesus. And folks, that's what we ought to do when we come, right? I mean, you can have fun in church when you watch this guy that gets up there and he baptizes with his coat on. And you say, he's going to do it. He did it. Oh, well, it's on the front row drying out. Don't worry about it. But you know, you need to have fun when you come to church. And so therefore, I think that's what John was having. In the midst of all of those things that were happening, John was praising the Lord. So therefore, when we come together, let's celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because when you come to church, you need to be searching for Jesus. Don't come here saying, okay, preacher, I'm ready. I'm opening it up, pour it in. No, come looking. Do you remember on the first day, John 20:21, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, early in the morning, when it was yet dark, went unto the sepulchre, seeketh the stone that was taken away. Hey, she went there the first day. She was looking for Jesus, folks, when we come here on Sunday. We want to come also sensing a piece of Jesus Christ here. As in John chapter 20, verse 19, he says, the same day that eating at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Folks, how many times would you give half of your lifetime salary for somebody just to give you a little peace in your life? And so therefore, when we come into the church, let's come looking and listening, expecting Christ to say, peace be unto you. With all the turmoil that's in the world, just for a moment, Lord, just for a moment, Jesus says, peace. And why do we know He's going to do that? Because in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, the Bible says, for wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Christ is here. Christ is here. And He will lay His hand upon you. And He will give you peace. Coming together, what should we do? Coming together, we need to be sharing Jesus. As in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. I like that part. Wouldn't y'all like to stay here and preach all day till midnight? Amen? Oh, me. And by the way, when he preached midnight that night, he was preaching. One guy went to sleep and fell out of the window and was dead. Well, Paul went down there and touched him, and he was healed. He came back to life, but that's true. Moral of that story is don't sit in the window when the preacher's preaching. Okay. Well, anyhow, when we come together, let's come together sharing. Let's come together expecting. Let's come together expecting the peace of Jesus Christ. And then we come together to give, sharing the blessings of God. As 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Folks, God gives us opportunity to bless people. Bless the people in Cuba. Bless those who are going to Honduras. Bless those who need you. God gives you the opportunity to bless people. That's what we gather together for, so that we can be a blessing to others. And then when we come together, let there be singing about Jesus. As in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Give Him blessing. Folks, when we come, let's come singing. Let's come join the choir. Amen. Turn loose with the chosen few and sing. And sing. Sit on the front row. Sit in the middle row. Sing. So that there be things happening in your life. Let's sing praise unto God when we come. And when we do this, then God will bless, because you see, it's not true like that all over the world. In fact, on March the 24th this year, a United Methodist congregation in Molesky, Russia, they were teaching Sunday school. And the authorities came in to those who were teaching Sunday school and said, you can no longer teach Sunday school because this is an illegal action and you're educating on Sunday. And that's against the law. And therefore, they took away their legal status. They didn't break them up, but they took away their legal status to be a church. A church. It's not always going to be on March the 29th. 7 house church leaders were arrested in Kyu County in Sichuan Province during a house praise and worship service. 7 believers were taken out. Many of them were interrogated. A couple of them were released. A couple of them were kept. And one of them is still missing to this day. What am I saying? When we come together, let's take the moment. Let's seize the moment that God has given us and not taking things for granted, so that we might lift up the voice unto the Lord and praise Him. John, what did you see? John, what did you hear? And John said in our text this morning, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. He heard. What did he hear? He heard the voice of velocity. The voice of velocity. When Jesus gets ready to speak, folks, people are going to listen. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard Jesus speak to you. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But sometimes Jesus can speak a whisper to you that sounds like a freight train coming. You knew it was Him. Other times, it will be like this one. Jesus will speak with a voice of velocity. The word great voice there is the word megas. I like that word. Mega. You know, that's a, boy, young people pick up on that word. Man, this is a mega. This is a mega voice. That's what He came out with. And that's what He was speaking in. And He spoke as Paul was on the road to Damascus. One day he was a sinner. He was going killing people. The next day he was saving people. But on that road to Damascus, a great voice came out of heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He heard the voice. He heard the voice. God will speak to you. It may not be in the mega voice. It may be in the voice that's still and small and quiet. when he speaks. You'll be able to hear when he speaks. You'll be able to listen. But when he cried out this time in our text, when he cried out as a great voice, as of a trumpet, the word trumpet there is the word of a war trumpet. He was calling out saying, listen, as though it was calling the whole world into war. As though he was saying the light and the darkness is now coming into conflict. He's calling all these things. The trumpet's sounding, listen. No wonder, no wonder. After he called out in the trumpet and then these words, the voice of the ages came in. These were the words of Jesus Christ when he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's who I am. The voice of the ages is now speaking to us today. And we need to hear that voice. We need to hear that voice. Why? Because I know many of you heard in Baltimore where a teacher in an art class said, young lady, sit down and behave yourself. And the result was the student got up and assaulted the teacher. And what did they do? They just suspended the child. Folks, we need to hear the voice of the Lord in our schools today. In a Catholic college in Illinois, the officials of a Catholic liberal college, they shut down the doors indefinitely because somebody wrote the graffiti on the wall, said, be prepared to die on 414. And after the shootings and all that had occurred on Valentine's Day in Illinois, where this person just walked into the door killing 5 students and wounding 18 others and then turning the gun on himself, folks, we need to hear the voice of the Lord in the colleges and universities of today. We need to hear it. People are living in fear. But people need to hear the word. Because when he comes, we'll hear the voice of the ages, and the voice of the ages will give words of instruction. Listen to the voice of instruction when he said, in verse 10, or verse 11, he says, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia. Send to these 7 churches. What are the voices of instruction? 3 things. See it, write it, and send it. That's pretty good, isn't it? See it, unseal it, or write it in a book, and send it. Now, what are we supposed to do? What you see, write it down, send it out. What we've observed this morning, and this young, beautiful young lady who gave her life for Jesus, write it down, send it out. You've heard the choir sing, write it down, send it out. You've heard the prayers in Cuba, write it down, send it out. In other words, we're not just to hear something. If it stops right here, it's no good. Hear it. Write it down. Send it to Honduras. Send it to China. Send it. We had one that was talking about the Gideon Bibles this morning. Miss Betty was talking about. In lieu of flowers, they send Bibles through the Gideons because it's everlasting word. Write it down. Send it off. Send it to the churches because they need to hear. What do they need to hear? What do they need to hear? Maybe today they need to hear the vision of the glorified Jesus Christ as He stood in the presence and He gave a mandate. Maybe they need to hear what is going to happen to these 7 churches, to Ephesus. Maybe the 7 churches need to back up and listen to what's going to happen in chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, all of a sudden they're in heaven. All the churches are going to be gathered together. Jesus Christ is going to be on the throne there. Maybe the churches of today need to hear about 24 elders. Maybe the churches of today need to learn about this seal book, this book with 7 seals on it. And this book with 7 seals are the inheritance of the universe, the inheritance of the earth, in which was lost to Satan. And Christ is going to come back. And Christ is going to unseal this scroll. We're going to study about this. The churches need to know today that Christ is reclaimed, taking charge, authority over the universe. We need to hear about this. Maybe we need to hear about the 4 horsemen. who are going to be coming in chapter 6. And these four horsemen, one is going to represent death, another is going to represent famine, another is going to represent disease. They need to see these horsemen. The judgment, the wrath of God is coming forth. They need to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They need to see that there are going to be martyrs there who are going to have the seal of the Spirit upon them so that death will have no claim over them. They need to hear about 144,000 who are going to give their life for the preaching of the Word throughout the universe, and the Jews and the Gentiles, that they're going to be saved when they listen to the testimony of these 144,000. They need to listen to this. And many of the Gentiles who are going to come, they need to listen to the trumpets. The trumpets of judgment. They need to listen to these two amazing witnesses who are going to go out, and they're going to have the ability to call down fire. And these two witnesses, they're going to witness for Jesus Christ. And one day, these two witnesses are going to be killed. And the whole world is going to celebrate it as though it was New Year's. These two witnesses are going to be dead. But on CNN, on ESPN, on Fox Network, on all the networks of the world, they're going to have the cameras on these two witnesses. And they're going to come back to life. They need to hear about what's happening right here, about this beast that's going to rise up out of the sea, which is going to be the Antichrist. And they need to hear about the beast which is going to rise up off of the land, which is going to be the false prophet. And they need to hear about these bulls of wrath, the judgment that's going to come down. And they need to hear about the judgment of the apostate religion, the scarlet woman and the beast. They need to hear about the judgment of Babylon. And then they need to hear about the return of Christ. And when He comes, there's going to be the marriage lamb. And they need to be ready for that day. And the trumpet in Christ is going to sound. And they need to hear that the beast is going to be sent down to hell. And they need to hear they're in the millennium age, that there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the throne, ruling with a rod of iron. And they need to hear that Satan during that period of time is going to be judged and he's going to be sentenced. And we hope it's hard labor. He's going to be sentenced for 1,000 years and then he's going to be released for a short period of time. And they need to hear about the judgment of the great white throne that's coming. And they need to hear about the battle of the Armageddon that's going to bring all the forces from the north, from the northeast, from China, from Russia, and probably from America that are going to converge down on Israel, saying that we will put this to death once and for all. And Christ is going to rise and he's going to speak the word. And the armies are going to be destroyed with the voice of the word of Christ. They need to know Christ is Lord. And they need to know this day is coming. As in chapter 21, there's going to be a heavenly relationship. There's going to be those who are going to be excluded from heaven because of their character, because of their sin, because of their lawlessness. But they're going to be those who followed Christ, who received the blood cleansing of Jesus Christ, who are going to be living there with Christ into the heavenlies. What are you saying? I'm saying, folks, that day's coming. And the churches need to hear that we win. The churches need to hear. Because what's happening as there was a man who during the days of Constantine, I believe it was, during the days of Constantine turned and at a point in time was wicked against the churches and brought forth persecution. One of the followers of this guy that was a persecution said these words. He said, "Now, what is your Savior, that man of Galilee? What is he doing now?" And he says, "I'll tell you what he's doing now." He says, he's building a coffin for your emperor. 2 years later, the emperor died in the field, and he said these words, "O Galilean, thou hast conquered." Folks, as we conclude this morning, I want us to be mindful of this. Christ is Lord. So much I would like to tell you this morning. good news. And folks, when you study the Revelation, you discover peace, security, hope, because all that's happening in the world around us is only limited. Christ wants you to have peace today. Do you have that peace? Do you have that peace? Is Christ your Lord? Are you going to be one of those that's going to be riding with Christ when He returns back to the earth on white horses with 10,000s of His saints? I am. I am. And I'm looking forward to that day, and I trust you will too. How does it all begin? It all begins at the place of the cross, giving the heart to Jesus Christ, following Him through the watery graves of the baptism, and walking out these doors with a message. A message. John, on the Lord's Day, he heard. John, what you heard, write it down. Now, John, after you got it written down, send it out. Let's send the message out. Jesus is Lord. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come praising the name of Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, we know that the day is soon arising. The day is soon coming, Lord, in which you're going to call the believers home. But until that day, Lord, we've got some battles to fight out here. Until that day, Lord, we know that we've got some tumors in Cuba, and we got some cancer in Columbus, and we've got some lost people surrounding, and we've got some homes we're breaking hearts, and we got some lives that need to be put together, and we've got people who are looking for peace. That day, Lord. But the good news is, right in the middle of this, we find peace with Jesus Christ. Father, help us to take the word outside of these doors and encourage people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Your life for Jesus Christ.